This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
Simon, you're pretty excited. You've got someone pretty special here in the studio today.
Yeah, so it's a flurry of guests today.
I know,
very interesting guests.
Oh, yes.
Now, we've got Diane in the studio. And Diane, you caught my eye on social media. And mainly because of something that you've been shortlisted for. Tell us a little bit about what you've been shortlisted for.
Okay. Well, I am a Mars One shortlisted astronaut candidate.
Wow. Okay. How did you get involved in this?
Gosh, I first heard about Mars One through, I think it was a science blog. I'm sort of scratching my head to remember the exact blog now, but I remember I was sitting at a mate's place just flipping away on my iPad and I saw this. I thought, oh my God, is this for real? Someone wants to set up a permanent settlement on Mars and they're doing a call for astronauts. I went, you know, what have I got to lose? I've got to go for it. So I did. I researched into the organisation first to make sure they were legitimate.
They were legit, yeah.
Like, who the hell are these guys? They're not NASA. But once I felt really confident that they were, you know, a valid organisation, I did my video, put in my application forms, and next thing you know, here I am, a lot less people left.
It's like the ultimate reality TV show without the cameras, isn't it?
At the moment, there will be cameras eventually.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Mars One have got a partnership that they've worked on with Endemol. So eventually it'll be something that will be live to air, so to speak, but from another planet.
Wow. That is incredible. That would beat I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here any day of the week.
Oh, wouldn't it just?
Oh, yes. Oh, my goodness gracious. So how long has it been since the time you first heard of it to now? What sort of process have you gone through so far?
Yeah. Well, in June 2013 is when I put in my application, and then I didn't hear anything for months until about Christmas time. And then I was overseas on holidays, and then I received an email saying, congratulations, you've been shortlisted from 200,000 down to 1,058.
And
I nearly fell over backwards. I did do a little squeal with joy, I must admit, and jumped around the hotel room.
I bet. That's insane, isn't it?
Yeah. That's big. That's a big thing to be whittled, part of that group, to be whittled down. You know, it's quite an honour on its own.
It is. And we've been, the next step was we all had to go and do a medical tests, which trimmed a few more of us out. And that left eventually a list of 660 that have just gone through selection committee interviews. And they finished yesterday, was the last of the selection committee interviews.
Wow.
And we will find out the 100 that are left in about 2 weeks' time.
Wow. How exciting.
So you're part of round two.
Yes, I am.
How many rounds are there?
Yep.
Are there
so a few? There are about four rounds to trim down to what will be the final group of astronauts that will be trained full-time for 8 years to get ready to go to Mars. Yeah, 8 years.
Wow.
It takes a long time to learn to be an astronaut. Obviously, there's all of the technical aspects of flying a spaceship and so forth. But each of the different, space events that have occurred or explorations that have occurred, each astronaut is usually trained for about 3 years getting ready for that. So they might have to learn about lunar geology or whatever for years on end. We'll have to be trained, though, because we're a permanent settlement. Mm. We'll be trained on everything from medical procedures to fixing solar panels to psychology, to you name it.
So for most people who don't know, Mars One is basically a one-way ticket, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
So I suppose I want to know a bit about your thought process and what went through your head when we do come back.
Yeah, because we have a little chat about what it all entails up next here on Joy. With us is someone who may be going off to Mars.
It's exciting, isn't it?
How exciting.
So Diane, when you originally applied, for anybody else, you know, you'd be thinking of, I'm not too sure whether you've got pets or a partner, and you know, you have life set up here.
Yes.
What do you sort of have to think about when making that decision? I mean, you're going to have to give all of that up.
Yeah, that's true. And I think it's, for me, it's, and I think most people, it's going to be those personal aspects.
Mm.
You know, you think about your family, you think about your friends, your partner. Mm. I mean, I've got a partner and she's amazing, incredibly supportive. And she is alongside me a lot of events and helps me organise them. So you do think about all of that. My folks were... My mum in particular is not terribly enamoured with the idea.
When I mentioned, you know, oh, wouldn't mind going overseas to live, she went off her tree.
Yeah, mum was not too thrilled either. She didn't like the idea of one way. But now she's one of my best supporters. Like if she sees me in the press or something, she'll keep a clip or something, you know, like nice. Mums do, a bit of a scrapbook type thing,
but
I think.
But it's one of those things, everybody sort of wants to leave a legacy.
Yeah.
With their life. And I think, exactly, you know, this is something that you know is going to change many lives.
Yeah, absolutely.
And yeah, it's just incredible. But there's a reason that you have been selected and have gone through this shortlisting process. What is that reason? What can you bring to the table on Mars?
Gosh, that's a really good question. I mean, the selection committee have obviously their criteria, and what they consider to be a successful astronaut includes more aspects of character than skills per se.
Oh,
so
really? Okay.
They're really looking for people who are mentally and psychologically stable.
That counts you out.
I'm out.
Although most people, when they first hear about it, think, oh, you must be nuts going to Mars.
It's quite the opposite, really, isn't it?
But then some of the other characteristics are the sorts of things that anyone in a high-risk sort of job that maybe an emergency services would have. So resilience, adaptability, ability to trust others, curiosity, all these sorts of characteristics are what they're looking for. Mm. Yes, you have to have the capacity to learn, because otherwise you're never going to learn how to do, you know, extract teeth or...
Yeah.
Or find food.
Or find food, or grow food. Growing food. Kind of part of my thing. I do research in food waste, but I'm also involved in a number of not-for-profit organisations that are around sustainable food.
Wow,
for me, it's all about having a closed-loop food system. And I think the Mars One project is a fabulous opportunity to show we can be completely sustainable, food, electricity, everything.
Well, do you know, I wouldn't mind hearing more about your other work in terms of food, which we'll do. And I think I've got the apt song to play right now. It's Jason Derulo, Don't Want to Go Home, which I think is perfectly suited. Diane's here talking Mars and food here in the backseat on Joy 94.9. Jason Derulo. Simon and Michael here with Diane McGrath, who's on her way to Mars. Simon, possibly on her way to Mars. She's not there yet, but she may be soon.
Well, we were talking in the break about the selection process, and you were saying that it does get to a certain point by a selection crew, and then the vote goes out to the public.
That's right.
To vote for the final group that goes into space. So it's like Big Brother.
On steroids,
isn't it? And then some.
Yes.
But intelligent people.
Yes. Oh, yeah. And we don't get that. We do not get that in Big Brother.
No,
do we?
It can't be Big Brother then.
No.
Doesn't work. But you have been doing some other work in terms of food and food waste. Mm-hmm. Tell us more about that.
Yeah, I'm doing a higher degree by research at RMIT Uni here in Melbourne. And my focus for my research is food waste in the hospitality sector. I don't know about you guys, but you go out to dinner and you see this massive serves of food. Happy about that, but not happy about that, because then you see it all get scraped into the bin later because they won't give you a doggy bag. And then you walk, I live in the city here, and I walk down the street and I see like every second doorway there's a homeless person or whatever. This is just insane. So my research is looking at how much food is actually wasted in restaurants and cafes, because we do produce a lot of food here, but it just goes to waste, and that's money to restaurants too if you own a business. It's insane.
But even in mass producing, when it comes to food, like the company that I work for has a big bread making factory.
Oh, yep.
And I see dumpsters and dumpsters and dumpsters full of perfectly good bread out the window because it's underweight by 10 grams or something like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they can't sell it. And it's just, you know, it's such a shame.
It's like
really
the supermarkets are to have the, you know, specs on how shapely or, you know, what the weight, etc., fruit and so on has to be, which is just insane. It tastes the same. If it's round or bent or straight, it doesn't matter.
That's right. Yeah. Exactly. So where will this lead? What sort of things are coming up into this particular area?
So, my research is called Watch My Waste, and if business is interested in signing up, they can go to www.watchmywaste.com.au. And what we're doing is we get businesses to basically just measure how much food they, you know, throw away. Could be from the plates, could be from the kitchen, could be from the fridge, because they don't pay attention to dates.
Yeah.
And then we also get into the detail of what goes on in their business. Why is this happening? So in the end, what we're going to have is a great picture of what food waste looks like in this country. But for each business, they'll have an understanding of why it's happening so they can fix it.
Yeah, which is, and that's
amazing.
The deal, is to try and solve some of the problem.
Mm. And that's sort of that helps. That would help every business.
Mm, absolutely.
And everyone in the world in the end, you know, bit by bit.
Yeah, well, there's a huge environmental impact from food waste. It's mm-hmm. If it was a country, it'd be the third highest emitter of greenhouse gases.
Wow. You're in the back seat right here on your favourite radio station, Joy 94.9. It's 4 minutes to six. Simon and Michael here driving you home until 7 p.m. And with us in the back seat is Diane McGrath, who's possibly going to Mars and who's also doing some research around food waste and such. You know, it's you know, you were talking before about some non-for-profit organisations. Mm-hmm. So who are you working with in that area?
I work with three not-for-profits so that are in the sort of food sustainability and food security area. First is a group called Cultivating Community, and they're all about trying to help a lot of disadvantaged communities get access to healthy, affordable food, and they do an amazing job looking after a lot of the commission housing estate, community gardens, and a lot of other programs like schools programs.
Yep.
Then there's a group called 3,000 Acres, and 3,000 Acres, I'm a board member of them as well, and they're all about unlocking land and helping people find space to grow things. Like, we live in urban, dense communities, and not everyone's got a backyard, and they help people sort of almost facilitate their own mini community gardens.
Wow.
It's really good. And the third group I'm with, which is the Open Food Network, that's a little bit like the whole thing you were saying before about you know, the food being out of shape or whatever and not being able to sell stuff. Open Food Network is really about connecting growers with buyers, like people who actually grow stuff with people who want to buy it. So it's trying to just disrupt the usual distribution system, avoiding supermarkets.
Uh-huh. Excellent.
You're quite a busy woman, aren't you, really?
Yeah, a little bit.
What are you going to do if
you... Don't sleep much.
who needs sleep, really?
Overrated.
I think we should ask a few curly questions. What do you reckon?
Go ahead.
All right. So what are the three things that you would miss if you were in Mars?
Other than my hairdresser, Alison. This is number one.
Does she fit in a suitcase?
To be honest, it's going to be those personal moments. Mm. You know, the things that you do with your best mates that just make you feel settled or happy or whatever. Mm. You know, there's times when you have a really crap day and you just want to go and have a beer with a friend or a drink.
Yeah.
I just won't be able to do that. To hold my partner's hand when I'm walking down the street, all those sorts of things.
Yeah.
So it's those intimate things. I can guarantee that will be number one on the list.
Mm.
And then probably things like, I'll never feel the wind or the sun on my face on Mars because we'll always have to be wearing a space suit when we go outside.
Yes.
So that's another thing.
I mean, you take for granted. And have a look at Michael and what's happened to him with the sun yesterday.
I'm as red as a tomato. I blame the clouds in St Kilda. That's what I blame.
They're evil. Deceptive.
Actually, what is the atmosphere like? Like, obviously, you can't be out.
No.
Out, but what's it like there compared to here?
Yeah. So the Martian atmosphere, it's a lot thinner than it is here on Earth, and it's mostly all carbon dioxide, so we can't breathe it, which is why we have to wear a helmet and you know, obviously carry oxygen out with us. It's a lot less pressure too. It's only 6 millibars of pressure. Earth is 1,013.
Cool.
But so what? The same pressure it can be on Earth is found at about 25 kilometres up. So like in you know, the top parts of Ecuador, Quito, and places like that. So
So what would that do to the body?
Well, exactly. That's why I have to wear a spacesuit too, because having such low pressure...
Would it just crush it? Or?
Well, you're going to find that there is this variation where what... Actually, one of the things that's interesting, it causes water to boil at a lower temperature. And so your tears and your saliva and your tongue would boil at 6 millibars.
That is... I'm fascinated. And do you know what? If it wasn't time for the news, we could keep going for hours. You'll have to come back. We'll have to get you back.
For sure.
All right. We'll get you back. And all the details about all of your work will be online at joy.org.au/backseat so we can keep track of what you're up to.
Yeah.
Right.
Thank you for jumping in the backseat with us.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me, guys.
Oh, it's been a pleasure.
Joy 94.9 is a GLBTIQ community radio station in Melbourne, Australia. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au. Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.